Get your helmet on. The airlock's this way.
This is it. Disappointed you failed to accomplish your mission?
Help me with the door. I've enough information for our scientists to work on. But I've a feeling neither of us are going to survive this storm. Which is a pity.
I'm sure they'll find another sword for Orion.
I wasn't thinking of me. The universe will miss you, Doctor.
That's uncommonly...
The cyber leader!
Without this weapon, you are helpless.
I've never been impressed by the flexing of muscles, hydraulic or otherwise.
You are to be frozen and taken to Telos, Doctor. We have no need for this android. I will destroy her.
What's the point? If you think you're taking anything back to Telos, let alone me...
Silence!
This is Journey's End, Cyber Leader, for all of us.
Then why are you attempting to escape?
Hope. Because we're people, not machines. We prefer to die trying.
The viewport! Look, Vanguard's exploded!
And now you have lost all hope.
The walls!
She's breaking up!
My oxygen tank!
He's coming round.
Is he? Doctor.
Diva! I can't breathe!
It's all right. Doctor, it's all right. Do you think it's that Sargol stuff again?
Could be. I don't know.
Truman! You're back!
And so are you.
Where are we?
In the TARDIS. Now, just...
I know that. I mean, where's the TARDIS? It was supposed to be in the cybership, but it wasn't. And the HADs aren't switched on.
HADs? Doctor, you're not making
any
sense.
Hostile action displacement system. I thought they'd had a fit of super efficiency. Obviously not. Obviously, there's a more elusive explanation. We're in deep space.
And so were you.
The ion storm. Diva! Where were you, Truman?
I don't know. I don't remember leaving.
After you'd gone, Doctor, the TARDIS dematerialized.
And ended up here. Did you touch any of the controls?
No. It just started working on its own.
This is most disturbing.
And then Truman just, well, reappeared.
With amnesia.
I'm sorry, I can't help that.
What are you doing?
Scanning. There. Out there in space. It's Diva. We must get to her. Right, everyone out of the console room. I'll have to depressurize to get her in.
Doctor!
Wait a minute. My oxygen cylinder smashed, but how?
We found this other one attached to you.
And the woman out there. She's dead.
You were drifting alongside her when we spotted you and pulled you in.
She must have...
The universe will miss you, Doctor. What's the difference?
What is the difference?
Doctor!
It's all right, I've got him.
It's that thing again, it must be!
What?
The thing that took you! Doctor! Doctor, what should we do?
I can't concentrate.
Sargol again!
Dematerialize! It may give us time!
It hasn't done any good. It's still... There it is!
Zero room. We'll be safe there. Come on!
Is this it?
Yes. Open the door.
It's right behind us.
Truman, open that door.
I can't see the...
Oh, let me. Inside. Rhea, come on. In here with us.
I can't move. It's scanning me again.
If I'm right, it wants me. It won't take you.
She's gone.
But why? We've got to find her, Truman.
What on earth was that? Oh, come on, Doctor, wake up!
There's no need to shout, Truman. I'm not deaf.
Pardon? I didn't say a word.
Shh, listen.
All I can hear is the sound of walls collapsing.
Shh, no, listen. I can feel a psychic link for
me. Oh, Doctor, this
is no time. A terminal connection.
Doctor!
Listen to the screams. Listen. Can't you hear the screams of the dying?
Thank you. Doctor! Doctor! The zero room's gone. It's collapsed.
Collapsed? Well, of course it has. Low construction standards. Surely workmanship. I should think the least experienced of rank amateurs could have built it with a better eye for safety.
It doesn't exactly say much for your handiwork, does it?
Yes, well, current situation unimportant. Must find Rhea. That's it. Yes. That's it. I must find Rhea.
Oh, hang on a minute, Doctor. Yes. Are you sure you'll be able to control the Sargol withdrawal symptoms? There's no zero room to fall back on now.
Oh, no time for details now, Truman.
Oh, Doctor, come on. What's going on here?
My efforts in constructing the zero room weren't entirely wasted, Truman. The neutral environment provided me with partial stability. Hopefully I'll have time enough to consider alternative solutions to the problem afterwards.
After what? Doctor, you're not well.
Now, to business. If you would be kind enough to place your hand here...
The blue button.
That's right. Mm. And here. Thank you. And here.
Doctor!
Something the matter?
I've run out of hands.
I knew that teapot would come in useful one day. Mm. Well, there's nothing for it, I suppose. Truman, if you stretch, you should be able to reach the switch with your foot.
I'm not a contortionist, you know.
Please, just trust me.
Why?
I'm going to merge my mind with the ship's telepathic circuits, enable her to communicate with any other TARDISes in the current continuum. That way we might be able to gain some inkling of Rhea's whereabouts.
I'm not sure that's a good idea, Doctor.
Oh, what makes you say that?
Intuition. Is the drug Sargol contagious in any way? Or suppose the TARDIS is affected by your addiction? And what if Rhea's dead? We could spend the rest of our lives chasing a ghost.
Push the buttons, Truman!
All right.
Good. It was a major design fault on someone's part, locating these controls so far apart. I must remember to get longer arms next time I regenerate. Now, let's see. Good. All set, Truman?
Oh, not another button.
No, I can reach this one, but I need a hand free to make physical contact with the energy core of the Time Rotor.
I see.
I'm so pleased. Now, be sure not to let go until I say, won't you?
Why is that, Doctor?
Because it could be very dangerous, that's why. I could be affected by uncoordinated severance of telepathic connections. That's what happened to the Zero Room, you know. Huh? Uncontrolled psychotronic feedback from an exterior source.
You mean somebody thought the Zero Room to bits?
It must have been some kind of psychic accident.
Oh, good. You had me worried there for a minute. I thought somebody had it in for us.
Establishing mental contact. Now! Telepathic enhancement sequenced and running.
Are you going to be much longer, Doctor? I'm beginning to get cramp.
Establishing psychic connection.
Oh, my hand!
Bear with me, Truman. It won't be long now. Connection positive. Good, what? Connection negative? What do you mean, connection negative? Can't you get any kind of fix? You idiot! I told you not to let go!
Oh, my hand is...
I told you! I only had a limited time in which to locate Rhea. Now the zero effect is wearing off. I'm getting confused again. The lights are too bright.
Well, look, Doctor, I never realized...
Truman, shut up. I don't know what damage you might have caused by releasing that button too soon. You might have locked the PK circuits wide open and left them vulnerable to exterior influence. Get me onto that bunk. Press the green button.
Where's the green...
Over there.
What would that do?
Don't question my actions. No time. Must establish symbiotic connections. Enable the TARDIS to filter and purge my biological systems of the infection before it's too late.
Yes, Doctor. That's all very well. But did you find any trace
of
Rhea?
No trace. In any time, in any place. But a door ajar.
What about the other TARDISes? Did they know anything?
No. The ship was unable to lock onto any other time-traveling vehicles. In any continuum. There are no more TARDISes. No more TARDISes, Truman. Don't you understand? It's as if something happened that...
Doctor!
Establish the connections, Truman.
All right.
I must find Rhea. The shadows, Truman. The shadows. They're in my head.
Doctor. Doctor. Sleeping like a child. Time to adjust the coordinate settings on the console, I think. Yes, we've got an appointment to keep. What? No response? Well, that's unusual. I know I programmed it properly. Oh, well. When in doubt, give it a clout, as the old adage goes. A delicate application of pressure in the right place on the time rotor, and... Maybe not.
Let go of me!
Well, that hurt.
I know you, Truman Crouch.
Who said that?
I know you.
Who?
Your companion is not asleep, Doctor. He's been given a hand.
Sado. Like a death knell. Truman. Rhea. I must reason. Sardar.
Done.
Look out!
Remember that canister of Sargol, Doctor?
Shion Raiden.
Oh, you may have heard the last of me, Doctor, but you have felt the last.
No.
Revenge on you will be all-consuming. I don't regret ever.
Concentrate. I must. I don't know where I am. Who are these people?
Oh dear, I do wish you wouldn't do that, Pet. You never know what might be lurking in those briars.
Ah, get away, I know exactly.
Oh, come on. Oh, I do wish you'd come out of the briars, please. Don't play games with me. Oh. Very well then, if this is your idea of a stupid trick, I'm leaving. I'm going back to the starport. Oh! Hello there. I'm sorry I shouted. You're a bit young to be out on your own this late at night, aren't you? Well, you startled me. And what's your name?
What was that, boss? Look! It came from over there, near those briars.
Will you stop dawdling? We've got a performance to attend and money to make.
But I'm sure...
Oh, come on!
What? Who's there?
Who's there?
Who's there?
Come on. Stop playing games with me.
Who's there?
Doctor! Doctor, enough's enough. If this is your idea of a joke, I'm not laughing. Now, why didn't you just tell me you'd woken up instead of trying to scare the living daylights out of me? Doctor?
Doctor?
Doctor? Doctor? Doctor.
Oh, lights. Where? Oh, my head.
Are you all right? Let me help you up. You took a nasty fall.
Oh, thank you very much. I don't know how I came to...
We are. We'll soon have you back on your feet.
I certainly hope so. I can't imagine how I came to be in a...
Still a bit dizzy, are we? Never mind. That's only to be expected. Especially after a fall like the one you just took.
I don't suppose you
could looking tell me... for someone, are you? Come to the right place, darling. It all sorts here, all sorts. Look, if you pardon me butting my piece in where perhaps it don't belong, I suggest you go and look half around by the car people. People generally find what they're looking for amongst that lot. Or more likely, it finds them, if you take my meaning.
Well, actually, I don't... I'm afraid...
Yes, well, have to go, sir. Currently calls. Customers to attend. Good luck in your search. Hope you find what you're looking for.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Oh, just before you go.
Yes?
If I might offer a word of advice, watch out for the carny. It bites. Bye now. Roll up, everyone a winner.
It bites. Now, what's that supposed to mean? Hmm, booths, he said. I wonder which way they are. Arcani's so big, they could be anywhere. So big and wide and round, like a moon. Moons.
Beautiful, mister.
Watch out for the werewolves.
Oh, excuse me, I wonder if you could tell me where the booths
are. Listen to the stallsman, mister.
Try the booths.
Hey, Mickey, sir, wait for me.
How am I supposed to find these booths if no
penny booths? Penny booths, roll up, roll up, roll up. The most fantastic
noise
in all creation.
Follow the barker's voice and you find the snake charmer.
Gather and see the most ferocious serpent held in abeyance by the most insubstantial of mystic melodies. Watch as the serpent responds to every subtle nuance of the music. Watch the serpent sway, watch it dance.
Dance? Why would anyone want to watch a snake dance? Wait a minute. Snake dance? Snake dance? Excuse me, madam. I don't think it's a good idea to... Oh, be careful. Don't stop playing. Don't stop playing. It might get away. The Mara might get away.
Sir, I implore you, do not interrupt the performance. This particular breed of serpent is...
I'm fully aware of what kind of serpent it is. Just don't stop playing the... Now, look. It's got out of the basket. It's coming towards me. Keep it away. Somebody, please, keep it away.
What's going on here? That creature was only just behind me. I can't have lost it. It was too close. Oh. I wonder where it's gone. What's that noise? Sounds like the air conditioning. Oh, don't tell me it's on the blinker kit. No. It's not machinery. It's a snake. A huge snake. Ha! Ah! It bit me. Was it gone?
Dear, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, of course. Of course it is. I'm sorry. I panicked. I just don't like snakes. I'll just go now. Bye.
What am I doing here? I don't belong in a carnival. If only I could concentrate. But all the lights, the colours. Turning my mind inside out. Somewhere dark and quiet. Somewhere to think.
Madame Mysterioso can provide all the things you seek, Doctor.
She can?
For a small fee, of course.
Let me guess. One shiny penny?
For just one penny, all the wonders of my booth are yours.
At the moment, I'd settle for just the dark and the quiet. Your carny's giving me a terrible headache.
Then they are yours. For one penny.
Here you are, then.
Why, thank you, sir. Please, enter. Pray, be seated here at my table. If you are still troubled by head pains, then I urge you, breathe deeply of my incense. You may find it soothing.
Thank you. It does help a bit.
My arm. It's burning up. Snake bite. But what's the procedure for snake bite?
Ah, I wish that thing had been a nematoid. Well, it's getting hard to think. To see. Mustn't panic. Only spread the venom. Oh, but the lights are so bright. I can almost feel the venom inching its way through my veins, paralyzing the nerve endings. What am I going to do? Wait a minute. Medical textbooks. Yes, that's it. I'll go to the library. My legs. Oh, come on.
Well, sir, now that you're settled comfortably, perhaps we can discuss some business. A small prediction, perhaps?
Prediction? Of course, you must be the fortune teller. That's how you knew my name.
I know many things about you, Doctor. Some of them you don't even know yourself.
Yeah, there are some things it's best not to know.
Oh, you surprise me. I thought no one able to resist the lure of their own future.
That's something I've never had any qualms about avoiding when I've run across it.
Well then, the past. You must participate. Having once tasted the shelter of my booth, all must participate. Otherwise, life is nothing but a dream. Don't you agree?
I don't know exactly what you... What did you put in that incense? It's making me quite dizzy.
That I cannot say. But take my hand. Hold it firmly, palm to palm. We'll just see what we can find out about you, Doctor. I can feel the lifeblood pulsing in your veins, Doctor. See it glow with the fire of truth. It whispers to me, trading its secrets with me, trading your secrets.
Your hands are getting very hot.
The better to draw knowledge from you, Doctor. Don't you understand the carnal way in which knowledge and fire entwine?
Let go, you're burning me.
Do you feel my heat drawing the knowledge I seek from your very bones?
Let go of me, it hurts.
Odd that you should resist the flame of truth, Doctor.
What? What did you discover about me?
Well, now, my precious, that information's going to cost you another shiny penny.
Oh, very well, then.
Thank you, Doctor. Now, listen to what I have to say, and mark my words well. You are a man on a quest. But shadows dog your heels like wolves, and the hounds of Gabriel are knocking at your door. Don't let them in.
What is my quest?
That I cannot say.
Why not?
You were unwilling. You wanted me to stop before the reading was complete, and now you blame me.
I'm sorry. I think perhaps I'd better go now. My headache's coming back.
Hold! It may be that I was a little too harsh. Though your mind be webbed in shadows, there may yet be one more thing gained from this. The threads that bind your life are a tangled skein, Doctor. You must unravel them if you are to proceed. There is one in the carny, skilled in the untying of knots. Seek out the man Bradbury, the carousel owner. He will help you. But beware, Doctor. Seek only Bradbury, there are others skilled in the tying of knots, the tangling of thread. It would not do to meet such a person in your delicate condition. Now, I suggest you leave and continue your quest, wherever it may lead you.
Thank you.
Watch out for the carny.
It bites, yes, so I've been told.
Ladies and gentle beings, if you were locked in a lead-lined metal box fastened to a block of uranium-235 by chains of the toughest durasteel, suspended below another block of pure plutonium, held in place by the thinnest of mylar cords and the most sensitive of release mechanisms, if you were then given 30 seconds to make good your escape before an artificial gravity wave propagator was employed to smash the two blocks together, precipitating a contained nuclear explosion with you at its epicenter. You, ladies and gentle beings, would die. So be thankful, folks, that you are not in that box with those blocks held by those chains within that sensitive trigger mechanism. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the man who will escape from this incredible trap in just 30 seconds. Ladies and gentle beings, I give you the Great Escape Hour! Ladies and gentle beings, if I could invite a member of the audience to check the Great Escape Hour's bonds. You, sir? Very good. Step this way, please. You will verify the chains are of the hardest durasteel and that they contain no trick mechanisms or hidden catches. Shake them.
Yes.
Satisfy yourself as to their authenticity.
Well, yeah, they're clean. Yeah.
Very well, then. Thank you, sir. There are no tricks, no hidden mirrors. If you would please stand back whilst our team of experts raise the form alloy blast shields into place around the box. You will note that while the Great Escapo himself is concealed by the blast shields, the uranium block is clearly visible in the space below, as is the plutonium block above. We will now begin the countdown to gravity propagation. You will note, ladies and gentle beings, that the mylar cord holding the plutonium block is fraying. The Great Escapo now has only 20 seconds to free himself from his bonds. The gravity wave propagator is primed. The Great Escapo now has a scant 15 seconds to free himself. Ladies and gentle beings, join with me as we count off what could be the Great Escapo's loss. 10 seconds of mortal life. 10, 9, 8, 7. Ladies and gentle beings, I suggest you cover your ears with the mufflers provided and shield your eyes with the visors provided. 2, 1, 0. Ladies and gentle beings, ladies and gentle beings, you may unplug your ears. Thank you. Ladies and gentle beings, I'll present to you Armageddon Contained. And of course, the answer to the question which is poised upon all your lips, trunks, or mandibles: did the Great Escapo make it? Behold, I am removing the blast shields. You will note the scarring and dents. This was no minor explosion, of that I can assure you. I am deoxifying the radioactive debris. I am vacuuming away the poisonous sludge. Is the Great Escapo alive? Or is he? But wait. What is this? It is a manacle. The carbon steel turned to solid diamond by the heat and pressure. Escapo's legacy. But what of the man himself? Look there amongst yourselves, I'll give you a love and well, the Great Escapo!
Why is it getting so hard to move? Surely the venom can't be acting this fast. That sound. What is that sound? I remember. When the doctor linked up with...
No,
you
Truman.
Crouch.
The TARDIS. It's the TARDIS!
I'm proud of you, boss. Today's show went really well. The diamond manacle was a brilliant touch. The crowd loved it.
You're right there, boy. Never met a mark I couldn't sucker. We packed them in the aisles. Mind you, the overheads are expensive, and we're really going to have to dream up a way to avoid using all those clones of you in the explosions. Sooner or later, someone's going to twig that the trap really is escape. Oh, proof. If the management ever caught on, they'd base my posterior scorpion venom and likely as not pack us off to the carny.
You reckon we've milked about as much as we can out of Escapo, then? Think maybe we ought to kill him off tomorrow, grab the funeral insurance and light out for the rim?
See, seems like a sound idea to me, lad. I'll make it. Who's there?
Oh, excuse me, I'm looking for a Mr. Bradbury.
Who the devil are you?
How long have you been listening at the door?
Not long. As a matter of fact, I
don't just... believe you!
If he heard...
Exactly.
Packed off to the corny.
Basted in scorpion venom.
But I only...
You kill him! Oh, keep your elbow out of my ear, you nerk. He's getting away. After him.
I can't see him. Everything's gone dark.
Well, take the tent flap off your head, you steaming great nut. He's heading off with the carousel. If he gets on that... We've lost him. Get after him.
Sorry, I didn't see your tail there. Whoops. Mind the antenna, madam. Excuse me, coming through.
On the run, mister. You're on your own now, you know. I told you the wolves were out tonight. Full moon's, innit?
Look, I really haven't got time to stop and chat. I need a place to hide.
I know. Why don't you try the carousel? It's only just over there.
Thank you. Yes. Yes, I will. Thank you very much. Excuse me.
Save your strength for a rainy day, Doctor. Don't squander it on thanks.
On the run, Truman Crouch.
Looking for a place to hide, Truman Crouch.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing at all.
Oh, I see.
Soon... You will need all your strength.
Parola, the ride of a lifetime! Any lifetime!
Stallsman, I believe I could be in a bit of bother.
Then I'm at your service, sir. Name's Bradbury. Getting a bit long in the tooth now, I dare say, but I've seen action in my time. You need a ride?
I think I do, yes. I need a place to hide.
From whom?
Well, it's the lights in my head. They make it so difficult to remember. Bradbury, I need a friend. Can you help me?
My dear fellow, we all need friends. But I? Why, I have my horses and my unicorns and my Ormelian lions. Friend? But of course.
Good. In that case, I think
step
better...
right up, folks. Step right up. Ride of a lifetime. Any lifetime.
Bradbury,
two pennies, sir. And you, madam. But of course, you're together. Thank you, sir. Most generous.
Excuse me.
And the
you
children,
did say...
half price. Why, naturally, sir. Up we go, kids.
Bradbury.
And you, sir. But I forgot.
Look, there he is.
You're my friend.
Get him.
You get to ride for free. All aboard now.
Stop him! Stop the carousel!
Oh, too late, you fool! There he goes!
Bradbury, what are we doing this high off the ground? Carousels aren't supposed to levitate.
This one does, sir. All part of the attraction. Mind you, you haven't seen anything yet. The best part of the ride is still to come. Those will see that ride for free. A merry, merry company. A certain sect, oh, most select, beneath the stars above the sea.
But Bradbury, the clouds, we're above the clouds.
Sir, your mind is very impressive and currently impressionable. But do not fear confusion. Behold, See how others fare. The lord and his mistress and theirs. Behold how they leap to meet the torrid earth below.
What? The animals, they're coming to life. They're jumping off the platform. They'll all be killed.
Oh no, sir. They paid for the ride of a lifetime. Any lifetime. They are but receiving just compensation for their sixth penance. Look at them fly. Oh, lovely, lovely, lovely.
The sky's full of riders, all falling.
Ah, the merciless, intractable grip of gravity, my friend. Impossibility is what is purchased here.
My horse, I can feel it moving. I can feel its muscles coiling like steel rope.
Only natural, sir. After all, they are steel. Your stallion is preparing to jump.
What? But I can't stand heights.
He knows the time, my friend, and he knows you.
But what if I fall?
Fear not, my good friend. You will not fall. But you have to believe.
The mane is curling round my fingers. It's gripping me. I can't let go.
Do you believe, Doctor? Do you believe?
Stop the ride. I want to get up. I can't go through with this.
Too late for doubts or recriminations, my friend. Those will see who ride for free. Prepare yourself for the ride of your life.
No!
Doing this? Why can't you leave me alone?
I can make you squirm.
Stop it! Too much gravity.
I could squash you quite flat.
I could cradle you in my arms forever.
What's happening to the floor?
I could let you
go!
Heavens, the ground, solid ground at last.
I trust you enjoyed your ride, Doctor.
Bradbury, how did you get down so fast? You know, there's something odd going on here. If only I could think...
I beg your pardon?
Ha! That's it, I think. Yes, of course. I'm not afraid of heights.
No, Doctor, of course you aren't.
Well, no, don't you understand? I was terrified on the way down, almost petrified, in fact. And yet... I'm not afraid of heights. Don't you consider that strange?
Still a bit dizzy, aren't we? Don't worry. It's always the same for first-timers. The effects will pass. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got to get old Rory here back to the carousel in time for his next flight. Are you all right?
No, I'm not. Lights are far too bright. Too sharp. They're cutting into my mind. I must stay lucid, but... I can't... manage the effort.
Why don't you try a ride on the ghost train, Doctor? It's nice and dark in there.
Yeah.
Although not too restful, I shouldn't think.
That's a good idea, Bradbury. The thought of the dark appeals to me more than ever now. Maybe there I can get my head together. Sort out once and for all what I'm doing in this weird carnival.
And what exactly are you doing in the carny, Doctor? Looking for something, perhaps? Can I help?
Madame Mysterioso told me I was on a quest. I didn't know what she meant then, but I realise now that I must be on a quest for the Holy Quail.
I think you mean Grail, Doctor. The Holy Grail? A terrestrial legend, if I recall correctly.
That's the ticket. That's what I need. The chalice. The milk of the chalice of life. Thank you, Bradbury. Thank you very much. You've been most helpful. Now,
ghost trains over that way, mister. Watch out for the werewolves. There's still an hour or two until moon
said.
Yes, well, I'll be off then. Haven't I seen you before? Oh, well, never mind. I don't suppose it's important.
What a delightfully manipulable fellow. Don't you think, Bradbury?
Yes, of course, sir.
I'm sorry, Bradbury. Am I making you nervous?
No, not at all. It's old Rory here. Can't you hear him nickering?
I don't know about nickering, Bradbury, but I can smell the salt sweat of fear on his hide.
If you'll excuse us, sir, I'd better be getting the old fellow back to the carousel. The next ride's nearly due.
But of course, don't let me keep you from business, Bradbury.
No, I won't, sir. Thank you. Come on, Rory.
Feeling better now?
What?
Where am I?
How did you know I was going to say that?
I said, how did you know I was going to say that?
Why do you
keep anticipating me?
It's really simple. Like you.
Me?
You have to realize that I know you, Truman Crouch. And I'm going to kill you.
What? Well, why then?
Because I can sense the shadows in your heart.
Dark shadows.
Creeping.
Encroaching.
Overwhelming
shadows.
Mm. Yes, of course. You've been frightening me with shadows. Shadows. Where's the monster, old girl? Where's the snake? They're all illusions, weren't they? They can't kill me. You can't kill me!
Before you were safe from me.
But now you're in the heart of me.
And I can do anything I want to you.
All aboard, it's getting bad. All aboard the ghost train for the ride of a lifetime.
I seem to have heard that somewhere before. Still, here's hoping the dark will help my confusion.
Safety belt fastened, sir. Good. Don't want you to fall out now, do we?
No, of course
That's
not.
That's all right, then. Right, everyone, stand back from the noise.
Here, boss. It's him, isn't it? The bloke what heard us. How do you know he'd be on the ghost train?
Intuition, boy. Been involved in scams one way or another for all my life. I know a thing when I sees one.
A think?
That's right, boy. A low down, sneaky, conniving, Ormelian think. And tell me, where does a think run when it needs to hide, eh?
Somewhere.
Dark, that's where.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Some dark, deep nook or crevice where no one can see him. No one can find him until he activates his subspace comlink and rats on us, of course.
They didn't seem all that interested in us, really. Surely if he was an Ormelian CP agent, he'd be in the owner's tent right now, grassing us up.
No, boy. You don't know his mind like I do. It's dark and convoluted, like his hiding place. And he knows what he's about, and so do I. He's devious, boy. Devious and cunning. And there's only one way to fight a cunning think.
With more cunning?
No, of course not, you idiots. With a gun.
Why, look at
there.
Yeah,
babe.
Oh,
move over.
It's as peaceful as I'd hoped, but at least my eyes feel better for the dark. I suppose my condition must be improving. None of this is scaring me.
You've obviously never ridden this train before, stranger.
No, not as such.
You're in for a surprise. All the screams and moans and apparitions from the tunnels are just the beginning.
Oh, really? How nice.
You haven't seen anything yet?
Yet.
What? What's that noise? What's happening to your face?
The moon's at full tonight, stranger.
Full and bright.
Your hair, it's getting longer.
It's perfect night.
It's turning into fur.
For killing.
Oh, no. Help. Somebody help me.
The doctor won't like this, you know. I'm telling you, you better think about letting me go. Alone in the dark, it seems. For the moment, anyway. Something must have distracted the ship. I wonder. A stream. What's a stream doing in the heart of the TARDIS? Streams always come from somewhere and go to somewhere. Perhaps if I follow this one, I'll find a way out.
Let me out!
Let me out! Stop the train! I want to get off! Please!
Get off me!
The emergency handle. Where is it? Where do I go? It's like a rabbit warren down here.
I'm never going to get out of here.
Quickly, Doctor, this way.
Bradbury, what are you doing here? They're shooting at us.
Yes, and if you don't get a move on now, they're quite likely to hit us.
Yes, but hang on. Werewolves with proton eradicators.
Accurate werewolves, Doctor. This way. We've no time for this.
Where are you taking me?
In this alcove, quickly.
But they'll catch up.
Right. They've gone. We'll give them a few more minutes.
Truman, oh, my head.
Doctor, concentrate. One of their shots must have grazed your scalp. You're lucky it wasn't any closer.
The wolves, they're going to eat us.
They're not werewolves. That's just one of the tricks of the ride. The owners of the ghost train felt their punters would be more scared if the other passengers and the carriages turned into monsters. Some simple holography. What you thought to be werewolves are in fact just people. The great escape owner's manager, alias McGinnis and Sebastian Deeks. The most outrageous name model con men this side of Sirius.
I'm sorry, this is all a bit of a nightmare. The shadows, Bradbury. They're catching up with
What's
me.
What's the matter with you?
I promise you won't laugh. Sargol withdrawal. What's the matter with you? Your personality has changed somewhat drastically.
I can't do anything for your affliction, Doctor.
I didn't for one minute think you could. What do you want with me?
All right. The Bradbury you knew, Bradbury the sideshow owner, was an act. An elaborate deception to get me closer to the Deeks brothers undetected, so I could gather some hard evidence against them. Have you ever heard of the Clone Protection Agency?
The CPA... Yes, it's a branch of Ormelian Security, isn't it?
That's right. I'm an undercover cop. The Deeks brothers have their fingers in some very dodgy pies. At the moment, Doctor, you are my single piece of evidence.
Why are we packing, boss? I thought we were going to do in the Fink. Grab the cash from one more show and skedaddle.
Reasonable course of action under normal circumstances, lad. However, these circumstances ain't normal anymore.
No, I don't follow.
Listen to me. What do you think it was back there in the tunnel with the Fink?
Oh, I don't know, an accomplice? We could kill him too, you know.
Your attitude says much for your enthusiasm, but little for your common sense. Hades, give me strength. Boy, when will you learn that it's just not sensible to cross swords with the Clone Police?
You look like a sideshow owner to me. How could you tell he was Clone Police?
Oh, I have my methods, boy. Which you'll learn if we live beyond tomorrow.
Yeah, but hang on a minute.
Don't argue! We're leaving, but not empty-handed. Now open the bag while I stash this season's takings.
All right.
There.
Now what?
We exercise a little directive of mine purporting discretion to be the bitter part of valor.
Oh, yeah, you mean we run away?
I prefer the term technical withdrawal.
We're not fighting a war, you know.
Tell that to the Clone Police. They seize our business ethics as direct infringement of artificial people's civil rights. If they catch us, they'll kill us.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hello. We were just having
leaving.
A
leaving?
I know.
And you're not going to stop
Quiet
us.
Quiet, boy.
I'm here as an emissary from my owner to bring you a gift.
The owner? The carnival owner?
That's right.
Well, give it to us then, whatever it is. We've got to go, you know. Look, I said...
Oh.
Oh, I've been walking for ages. The ship must have lost track of me by now. Oh, I think I've been missed. Oh, this stream seems to go on forever. What have we here? Door in the wall. This could be my way out. Hello. Empty tunnel by the look of it. Tracks on the ground. Metal rails. It's a subway. I wonder what a subway's doing in the TARDIS. It's very quiet. Oh! Oh! Oh. Well, that's obviously not the way out.
Yes, but look, you don't understand. I can't even remember how I got here. I haven't got time to play cops and robbers with you, Bradbury. I've got more important things to do.
Like what?
Well, for instance, I can't really remember. I'm a bit confused, you see. I think I'm looking for someone.
So am I, two someones. And you're going to help me, willingly, I hope.
But aren't you supposed to be my friend?
Put it like this. Either you help me, or you'll never see your friend again.
You have her?
No.
You know where she is, then?
No.
Well, then I don't
see... It's very simple, Doctor. If you don't help me, I'll have you arrested for obstructing justice.
I see.
Well?
Rhea. Rhea! Bradbury, that's what? Her, the girl I'm looking for. Rhea, come back!
Don't be frightened, it's me, the Doctor!
Doctor!
Rhea, come back!
Doctor!
I can see the console room. What? The floor in front of me. I'll have to jump for it. I've got to make it. Made it. What's that? Somebody's deleted a whole section of the ship. The TARDIS.
Can't delete me now, can you, old girl? Not now I'm inside your precious console room. Erase me and you'll erase part of yourself. And, of course, the Doctor. Checkmate, I think.
Rhea! Rhea, don't run away from me! I've come to take you back to the TARDIS!
Blast! Where's she gone now? What's this? Arcade? Oh, no, I hope she isn't in there. Rhea! Rhea!
Wait, don't go...
Blast, she's gone in. I'll have to go in after her. The lights, that... Where is she? Excuse me.
Do you mind?
Oh, sorry, you're concentrating. Yes, no trouble. Pardon me, I don't suppose you
haven't... No, I haven't, mister.
Oh, well, thank you anyway.
Hello, mister.
Rhea! What on
earth? It's your girlfriend, mister.
Rhea?
You know, the one who's not real.
What do you mean she's not real?
What is reality, Doctor?
Askra!
Allow me to introduce my own.
We've already met, thank you. Mind you, I thought you were dead, Askra. You're looking very chipper for a dead man.
My poor fellow. Haven't you guessed yet? I'm not real. Neither of us are. You're in a dream, Doctor. Why don't you try and tell me what is reality?
I don't know what you mean. I think your defective TARDIS must have addled your brain if your Sargol addiction didn't do that first, of course.
Go on, Doctor. In between the abuse, think very hard. If you can tell me what is real, I'll let you have her back.
I can't. I don't know anymore. The lights are in my head.
Of course they are. It's the Sargol, isn't it, that Raiden drugged you with?
How did you know that?
All things are clear in a dream, Doctor, but only to me. After all, your dream is my reality. Only I know all the secret ways to enter and leave the Shadow World. Talking of which, I have something for you. Something I rather think you'll appreciate. Look at this, Doctor. Two files. Listen. Can you hear the liquid sloshing and foaming and gurgling within them? Listen to it. Two files, Doctor. I bet you know what's in them, don't you? I'll tell you. One contains the addiction, the other, its antidote. I'm going to let you have one file, Doctor. You choose which. Go on, choose! Which is it to be, exit or entrance? The cure or a fatal dose of the drug?
Anybody who wants to argue with a fusion pistol can move. Everyone else keep quiet still. You, the owner, whatever your name is, give the doctor his cure now. I'm taking him with me.
Is that what you think?
I can't see you stopping me.
McGinnis and Sebastian Deeks couldn't see me stopping them either. They're dead.
At your instructions?
Naturally.
Then I must arrest you in order that you may stand trial at the Artificial People's Court of Omelia for the gross perversion of justice.
I hardly think so. Roland?
Yes, Ona?
Explain to Officer Bradbury our feelings regarding the Artificial People's Court of Omelia, would you?
Of course. In fact, my pleasure.
Get out of my way, kid. I don't want to shoot you
Sticks
as well.
Sticks and stones may break my bones, but cops will never shoot me. In fact, Mr. Bradbury, I don't think you'll be shooting anyone. Ever.
And now, Doctor, without further ado, make your choice.
Time hasn't changed you, has it, Aspirin? I don't know how you managed to survive the flight in your damaged TARDIS, but the experience has obviously done nothing whatever to improve your character. You're still an abhorrence to the eyes of all that is good.
You should have been a poet, a bard, a writer of sonnets, a singer of songs. But you're none of these things, are you, Doctor? In fact, you're a fool. A fool, Doctor!
I'll take the file on the left, please, Askren.
Will you? Very well. Catch!
Thanks for the antidote, Askren. Can I take Rhea and go now?
What makes you so sure that the file contains the antidote, Doctor? What was your criteria for choice?
Simple. I goaded you. I knew if I made you angry enough, you'd want to smash the file containing the antidote. I saw just a hint of movement in the muscles of your left arm just before I chose. I think that was rather impressive myself.
Remarkable, Doctor. You tread a fine line well.
You're an eminently manipulable subject, Askren.
Quite so, quite so. Still, and I really do hate to shatter your confident illusion like this, old friend, but that's all your choice was. An illusion born of the need for amusement. You see, there was no antidote. I was lying. So drink deeply, Doctor. You don't have much time before the withdrawal symptoms kill you.
You're bluffing.
Am I, Doctor? Haven't you learnt anything from the carnival? The logic of dreams, Doctor. The logic of my world.
But there is no logic in dreams.
Precisely. The final truth is mine.
Rhea!
Take him away.
No, you can't. My friend, Rhea!
And throw him to the carny.
No, don't do it.
And when the carny has finished with him, I want his bleached knuckles brought to me for a necklace.
It's no good trying to frighten me, old girl. Just between you and me, I'm afraid you run an awful bluff. And all I have to do is make contact with the time rotor like this, and I can make you squirm.
Help me! Doctor!
How does it feel to suffer, huh? How does it feel to be persecuted? How does it feel, old girl?
You are evil. You cannot, must not hurt me.
Doctor!
Help me! Doctor!
Help me!
Doctor!
Carney, where am I? Looks like an arena. No, it's a circus ring. But it's covered in bones. What sort of creature could possibly...
Hello, mister.
Oh, you again. I don't suppose you'd be kind enough to tell me the way out?
There's only one release from this place, mister.
Yes, I know. You're the Carney.
Precisely, Doctor. It amuses me to wear the shape of a harmless child as I terminate some unsuspecting fool's life.
Ah, but I'm not unsuspecting, am I? And I'm definitely nobody's fool. Why do you think I took the wrong file from Askren? I knew he was too consumed by the fires of revenge to ever let me go. I knew he'd throw me in here with you. I needed a weapon. Here, have some medicine, Carney.
My compliments on a superbly reasoned bit of logic, Doctor. However, once again, you have failed to take into account the logic of dreams. You see, all that I am is already Sargo. The drug is a living organism, Doctor. I am composed of it, and it is me. I am consumed by its flame, as Askran is by that of revenge. Your commendable attempt to destroy me has merely added another increment to my strength. And now, fear we have come to a parting of ways. The time has come to end it.
No! Get back! Get away from me!
Doctor! Wake up, Doctor! You're having a nightmare!
I heard Rhea. No, I saw Rhea. I heard the TARDIS crying out for help.
It's all right, Doctor. You just had a dream, that's all. A nightmare. But you've got to wake up now. The TARDIS has gone mad. It's trying to kill me.
Kill you? How?
Well, by projecting telepathic images. It's been trying to delete rooms I was in. It's destroyed the cloisters. Doctor, your ship has gone mad. Absolutely mad.
And it was asking me for help. How odd.
Are you all right now, Doctor?
I think so. Yes. I'm sure I am. The dream fragments are dissipating now. The shadow's fading.
And the lights? Not too bright.
No. No, of course not. A bit dim, if anything. You can turn them up if you like.
How's that?
Better. Now, Truman, tell me, why do you suppose the TARDIS was trying to kill you?
I've no idea. I suppose the ship was... Well...
Help me.
You hear that?
That's the voice in my dream. The TARDIS.
What?
Truman, something's happening to the TARDIS.
I know.
Sabotage.
Very astute, Doctor.
Hello, Mr.
Askren. But you're dead.
As you soon will be, Doctor. You and your whimpering companion.
What's happening to the TARDIS?
We're entering the Shadow World, Doctor. My domain. My reality. And your demise.
Doctor, wake up. Doctor, you're having a nightmare.
Astrid,
the TARDIS has gone mad. It's trying to kill me.
Mad? My TARDIS? Impossible. It's not in the programming.
I think the programming's changed, Doctor.
Help me.
You hear that?
Doesn't sound like any voice of madness to me, Truman. More like one of desperation.
I know what I saw, Doctor, what I felt. I was in the ship's heart and it tried to kill me. It's mad, Doctor. The ship is mad.
Deceit.
Lies.
Lies.
Help me, Doctor.
Don't listen to the damn machine, Doctor. It'll kill us both.
Malevolence incarnate. Murder in its heart.
Doctor.
It must be killed.
Doctor, please turn it off before it's too late.
Where is Rhea?
Doctor!
Truman?
Doctor!
All right, all right.
Thank you, Doctor.
It's quite all right, Truman. There was nothing to worry about, you know. It was only a matter of time. I expect the ship was affected by the Sargol it filtered from my body. That's all.
But you switched off the brain functions now, haven't you, Doctor?
Oh, yes, yes. But not permanently. I've put the old girl into self-regeneration mode. In a couple of hours, she'll be as right as rain. She won't try to kill anybody.
Good.
You know, I'm feeling a lot better after my little sleep.
I'm glad.
Though I did have a rather strange dream.
Oh, yes. Want to talk about it?
No, not really. It was just a dream. Anyway, we've something far more important to worry about now.
You mean Rhea?
Exactly right.
Well, let's open the doors and get going then.
What do you mean?
We've landed, Doctor. We landed just after you went to sleep. I thought it was meant to happen. I assumed it had something to do with all that telepathic business.
And Rhea was in the dream. You know, Truman, you might be onto something. She might be out there somewhere.
Thank you, Doctor.
Or at least it's worth a try.
Yeah, this looks promising. A whole load of sand.
Don't be so negative. Hope is...
What?
Do you know, you sometimes sound so much like Greg, it's unbelievable.
Greg? Who's Greg?
Oh, someone I lost touch with. But I don't intend to lose Rhea. I'll find her. If it takes... I'll find her.
Beware. Beware.
We'll be right back.
magazine, cult name, audio visuals on tape.
Who is this person sat next to me? I don't know. Please introduce me to this person. I've never met him before. What's he doing here? Does he live here? Here being 57 Hollidale Road, in the dining room, or ex-dining room, now audio visuals production room. Nicholas Briggs is sat over there with the headphones on, twiddling with some knobs.
Knobs.
Laughing.
Location 57 Hollidale Road, dining room. Time, summer, afternoon. Participants, William Baggs, Gary Russell. Playback.
Affirmative.
That's the question. Right, well, I've got to answer this one in 50 seconds.
Again, why has Rhea been recast?
Well, unfortunately, Patricia Merrick, the long-time Rhea, has decided to go off to a holiday camp to do some work to get some extra money so she can come to London and do a drama course.
Scan complete.
What we've had to do, yet again, folks, is recast the part of Rhea. And the lovely lady who is now playing Rhea from Sword of Orion is Heather Barker. And she's very good, I might add, too.
Playback.
I was approached by the Doctor himself. I was doing some theatre workshops, and Nick Briggs came up to me and said, "How do you fancy doing an audio play?" And I'd heard about all these that he'd been doing. I said, "Oh, I'd love to." And he said, "I thought you'd say yes. Here's the script."
Return play.
The first story she did was Planet of Lies, because what happened was we initially did Sword of Orion with Patricia Merrick in it, but what happened was recently we discovered when we edited the play that certain tapes had gone missing, and those were the tapes with scenes with Rhea in it. So we thought, as Trish is still unavailable, and we've recorded Planet of Lies with Heather in it, that we'll jump back and get Heather in and ask her to do Rhea for that particular play as well.
Okay, she's strong and she's a forthright character, so she shouldn't sound too weedy, and I shouldn't whine, which I tend to do now and again, but she wasn't meant to whine. She knows what she is.
Okay, well, we've had several problems with Sword of Orion, mainly to do with the whole editing process. We discovered when Nick Briggs started to edit the play that we were a few dialogue tapes short. These had gone astray, don't know where, and we had to re-record certain scenes. In amongst these scenes were all of the scenes in the TARDIS.
Delete repetition.
We also, when Nick was editing, he had to do those. Then we discovered that we didn't record another scene at the time, so that was done at the house here in Peckham. And Nick had to do, you had a certain amount of time to do it. I think it was about 20 seconds to actually fit this scene in. So I think you'll probably notice that there is rather a squashed in scene involving the Doctor and Rhea. The Doctor explained to Rhea that she's got to stay behind, he's got to go and find Truman. We had a weekend in which to do the music, which didn't please our music man, Jim Mortimer, very much, because he wanted a week and two weekends in which to do it. But the whole thing was actually finally mixed out in a whole weekend.
And I also helped out with the music a little bit in my own way. There's a part where there's some whispering, some chanting going on, which I did and nearly killed myself trying to... Well, I hyperventilated doing that, which is... But it sounded very effective. Very omen-ish.
Yeah.
and then some humming and singing into the microphone. I don't know how it had been set up, but my voice came out split into different chords, minor chords, and just basically sort of hummed around in a minor key for that effect, and also nearly killed myself doing that because I had to hum for a long time without a breath.
That's right. One of the Porter studios packed in on the day, and he needed the two mixing desks, Porter studios, to do what he wanted to do. So there was a compromise there. So we spent the whole morning banging his head against the wall, thinking, my God, what am I going to do? This isn't working. So the whole play was beset with many a technical problem, and also the fact that these dialogue tapes had actually gone missing. It was just one reel-to-reel tape, which I must admit that I couldn't find in my office. So those scenes had to be re-recorded. Sword of Brian was supposed to end with the TARDIS scene, which is now going to be at the beginning of, well, is at the beginning of Carney, which is the Truman character returning to the TARDIS and Rhea being pulled away by this mysterious force which enters the TARDIS. So no, it wasn't supposed to end that way, but it's a nice dramatic ending anyway. The nature of the season being the way it was linked meant that we couldn't lose those scenes, and the only sensible way to do it was to make Carney a 90 rather than a 60. Very similar in a way to what happened with Destruct Contract, that the story itself was too long to put on the tape that we first designed it to be, but it wasn't the problem with Carney, it was really a problem with Sword of Orion. But the best way to go about it, instead of putting Sword of Orion on a C-120, which we were considering doing, was to lump it into Carney. Because the plays are linked, it meant that that was okay and there really is no problem.
Outtakes! That was a cyber leader.
It was heading for the conversion chamber.
To for what?
Captain! Doctor!
Grash, I thought you said... Grash?
What's the matter with him?
Sorry. Can we go back?
It fell apart.
What specifications?
I could take this jigger and jam the jet.
Jam the jet.
And if you and the captain hadn't arrived...
You, Vol and Chava would have ended up just like Grash. Subjects of cyber control.
My God.
Whoa, what a whopper, Doctor.
Who? Because of the heavy breathing.
We've had a couple of meetings. We are definitely going to do a season four. The final format yet has not been really decided upon. We know we've got various stories being put forward, and there will in fact be a new producer. I've decided to take a back seat with the Doctor Who's, my aim being to try and push some new science fiction material, like Burnout, which will one day materialise, that I assure you, and some other shorter one-off weird tales, I suppose, sort of like science fantasy, more on the emphasis on the fantasy. And that, I hope, we'll be releasing things like that by the end of the year. But season four will go on with a new producer, and that is Gary Russell.
It's very easy to say, oh, I want to put in a total change of direction and do this, that and the other. It's very difficult to actually make that sound as convincing. And if I listed out thousands and thousands of plans, everyone would say, yes, but in what way is that different? I'd like to think that the subtle difference over season four... let me backtrack a bit and say, we're not, at the moment, thinking of releasing season four with the absolute regularity that we did season three, or two, or one, where you have sort of two plays coming out at, was it every 2 months? Materialise. I would think that it will be more a case of when a play, so that we can avoid situations like we had with Sword of Orion, where we had to cram Jim's music into one weekend.
A lot of releases.
I want to sort of say, we're not going to release this play until it is finished. We're not going to advertise it until we're absolutely 100% sure it's going to be finished, or it is finished. So they will not be the regularity. That having been said, I will stand over everyone with a massive great whip and whip them into shape and try and make them as regularly as possible, but also make them as perfect as possible. I don't want to be constrained by saying, oh God, we've got a deadline to meet, we'll rush everything together and make it work. I'd like to be able to sit back and say, no, we've got another month, we can sit and play and get it absolutely perfect. Because there might be much more of a gap between individual plays, rather than make it a series of what I'm provisionally saying is 8 plays, but it could be less, it might stretch to more, I want to make it more of a serial. To an extent, season 3 was that, but I want every story to be interlinked. My intention being that you could take the ultimate season 4 and listen to it in one long go, and you wouldn't think there was potentially room for another adventure in between each tape. You know, they are linked. Writers. I don't want to say I want to get away from the writers we've had before, but to give season 4 a new look. I'm not going to totally get rid of the old, but I'm going to bring in an awful lot of the new. And so from a sort of directing point of view, we're going to use mostly the same people that we've done before, but from a writing point of view, there'll be some new writers, people who are quite experienced, A, in Doctor Who fan fiction, B, in working in radio, but have not done stuff for us before. People like Andy Lane and Mark Platt. And then there'll be the old regulars,
Arthur Wallace,
yes, he's turning up a story. I'm intending that Alan Lear will probably write the climax, because Alan Lear writes good climaxes.
When I used to think about how, if I were writing this, how I would do it, I wanted a much more doubting doctor. Someone who would, through this natural arrogance that does run all the way through all 7 incarnations, keep reaching these instant conclusions, but would quite often be wrong and would admit he was wrong from time to time. So I started from that. And when I started Cloud of Fear, the thing I was most interested in was showing the Doctor afraid, something that hadn't been done very often. What happened was, I wrote Hell Yes in a Matrix, which originally involved the Time Lords putting the Doctor into this sort of perverted matrix where the laws of logic didn't apply, in order to persuade him or to humble him sufficiently that he'd take up the post of president. However, one of the Time Lords in the original story turns out to be Gasp the Master in disguise. So I was writing that just as Trial of a Time Lord started. I finished Uncle of a Relative just as it started and sent it in. And imagine my surprise when vast quantities of what I'd written turned out to be very similar to vast quantities of what happened in Trial of a Time Lord. So, sudden amazing panic down in London. I could hear the reverberations up in Edinburgh. And I was politely asked if I'd like to make just a couple of changes. You know, not very much, lad. It'll only take you all of January.
There will be a special on-tape release due, we hope, for release round about October time, you know, autumn, which will contain a special little story which we're going to be writing shortly, and interviews with us, and hopefully interviews with the present TV production team. So it's sort of like a very general look at Doctor Who from behind the camera and from behind the microphone, if you like. It'll be hopefully 90 minutes if we can fill that amount of tape, but that will be out and about in autumn, so look out for it. We're not away forever.
Audio magazine, code name, audio visuals on tape.
Who is this person sat next to me? I don't know. Please introduce me to this person. I've never met him before. What's he doing here? Does he live here? Here being 57 Hollidale Road, in the dining room, or ex-dining room, now audio visuals production room. Nicholas Briggs is sat over there with the headphones on, twiddling with some knobs.
Knobs.
Laughing.
Location 57 Hollidale Road, dining room. Time, summer, afternoon. Participants, William Baggs, Gary Russell. Playback.
Affirmative.
That's the question. Right, well, I've got to answer this one in 50 seconds.
Again, why has Rhea been recast?
Has Rhea been recast? Well, unfortunately, Patricia Merrick, the long-time Rhea, has decided to go off to a holiday camp to do some work to get some extra money so she can come to London and do a drama course.
Scan complete.
what we've had to do, yet again, folks, is recast the part of Rhea. And the lovely lady who is now playing Rhea from Sword of Orion is Heather Barker. And she's very good, I might add, too.
Playback.
I was approached by the Doctor himself. I was doing some theatre workshops, and Nick Briggs came up to me and said, "How do you fancy doing an audio play?" And I'd heard about all these that he'd been doing. I said, "Oh, I'd love to." And he said, "I thought you'd say yes. Here's the script."
Return play.
The first story she did was Planet of Lies, because what happened was we initially did Sword of Orion with Patricia Merrick in it, but what happened was recently we discovered when we edited the play that certain tapes had gone missing, and those were the tapes with scenes with Rhea in it. So we thought, as Trish is still unavailable and we've recorded Planet of Lies with Heather in it, that we'll jump back and get Heather in and ask her to do Rhea for that particular play as well.
Okay, she's strong and she's a forthright character, so she shouldn't sound too weedy, and I shouldn't whine, which I tend to do now and again, but she wasn't meant to whine. She knows what she is.
Okay, well, we've had several problems with Sword of Orion, mainly to do with the whole editing process. We discovered when Nick Briggs started to edit the play that we were a few dialogue tapes short. These had gone astray, don't know where, and we had to re-record certain scenes. In amongst these scenes were all of the scenes in the TARDIS. We also, when Nick was editing, he had to do those. Then we discovered that we didn't record another scene at the time, so that was done at the house here in Peckham, and Nick had to do, you had to, a certain amount of time to do it. I think it was about 20 seconds to actually fit this scene in. So I think you'll probably notice that there is rather a squashed-in scene involving the Doctor and Rhea. The Doctor explained to Rhea that she's got to stay behind, he's got to go and find Truman. We had a weekend in which to do the music, which didn't please our music man, Jim Mortimer, very much, because he wanted a week and two weekends in which to do it. But the whole thing was actually finally mixed out in a whole weekend.
And I also helped out with the music a little bit in my own way. There's a part where there's some whispering, some chanting going on, which I did and nearly killed myself trying to... Well, I hyperventilated doing that, which is... But it sounded very effective, very Omen-ish. Some humming and singing into the microphone. I don't know how it had been set up, but my voice came out split into different chords, minor chords, and just basically sort of hummed around in a minor key for that effect, and also nearly killed myself doing that because I had to hum for a long time without a breath.
That's right. One of the Porter studios packed in on the day, and he needed the two mixing desks, Porter studios, to do what he wanted to do. So there was a compromise there. So he spent the whole morning banging his head against the wall, thinking, "My God, what am I going to do? This isn't working." So the whole play was beset with many a technical problem, and also the fact that these dialogue tapes had actually gone missing. It was just one reel-to-reel tape, which I must admit that I couldn't find in my office, so those scenes had to be re-recorded. Sword of Orion was supposed to end with the TARDIS scene, which is now going to be at the beginning of, well, is at the beginning of Carney, which is the Truman character returning to the TARDIS, and Rhea, being pulled away by this mysterious force which enters the TARDIS. So no, it wasn't supposed to end that way, but it's a nice dramatic ending anyway. The nature of the season being the way it was linked meant that we couldn't lose those scenes, and the only sensible way to do it was to make Carney a 90 rather than a 60. Very similar in a way to what happened with Destruct Contract, that the story itself was too long to put on the tape that we first designed it to be, but it wasn't the problem with Carney, it was really a problem with Sword of Orion. But the best way to go about it, instead of putting Sword of Orion on a C-120, which we were considering doing, was to lump it into Carney. Because the plays are linked, it meant that that was okay and there really is no problem.
Outtakes!
That was a cyber leader.
It was heading for the conversion chamber.
To for what?
Captain! Doctor!
Grash, I thought you said... Grash?
What's the matter with him? Sorry. Can we go back
to fell apart.
What specifications?
I could take this jigger and jam the jet.
Jam the jet.
And if you and the captain hadn't arrived...
You, Vol and Chava would have ended up just like Grash. Subjects of cyber control.
My God.
Whoa, what a whopper, Doctor.
Who? Because of the heavy breathing.
We've had a couple of meetings. We are definitely going to do a season four. The final format yet has not been really decided upon. We know we've got various stories being put forward, and there will in fact be a new producer. I've decided to take a back seat with the Doctor Who's, my aim being to try and push some new science fiction material, like Burnout, which will one day materialise, that I assure you, and some other shorter one-off weird tales, I suppose, sort of like science fantasy, more on the emphasis on the fantasy. And that, I hope, we'll be releasing things like that by the end of the year. But season four will go on with a new producer, and that is Gary Russell.
It's very easy to say, oh, I want to put in a total change of direction and do this, that and the other. It's very difficult to actually make that sound as convincing, and if I listed out thousands and thousands of plans, everyone would say, yes, but in what way is that different? I'd like to think that the subtle difference over season four... let me backtrack a bit and say, we're not, at the moment, thinking of releasing season four with the absolute regularity that we did season three, or two, or one, where you have sort of two plays coming out at... Was it every 2 months? There's two plays materialising. I would think that it will be more a case of when a play... So that we can avoid situations like we had with Sword of Orion, where we had to cram Jim's music into one weekend.
A lot of releases.
I want to sort of say, we're not going to release this play until it is finished. We're not going to advertise it until we're absolutely 100% sure it's going to be finished, or it is finished. So they will not be the regularity... that having been said, I will stand over everyone with a massive great whip and whip them into shape and try and make them as regularly as possible, but also make them as perfect as possible. I don't want to be constrained by saying, oh God, we've got a deadline to meet, we'll rush everything together and make it work. I'd like to be able to sit back and say, no, we've got another month, we can sit and play and get it absolutely perfect. Because there might be much more of a gap between individual plays, rather than make it a series of what I'm provisionally saying is 8 plays, but it could be less, it might stretch to more, I want to make it more of a serial. To an extent, season 3 was that, but I want every story to be interlinked. My intention being that you could take the ultimate season 4 and listen to it in one long go, and you wouldn't think there was potentially room for another adventure in between each tape. You know, they are linked. Writers... I don't want to say I want to get away from the writers we've had before, but to give season four a new look. I'm not going to totally get rid of the old, but I'm going to bring in an awful lot of the new. And so from a sort of directing point of view, we're going to use mostly the same people that we've done before, but from a writing point of view, there'll be some new writers, people who are quite experienced, A, in Doctor Who fan fiction, B, in working in radio, but have not done stuff for us before. People like Andy Lane and Mark Platt. And then there'll be the old regulars,
Arthur Wallace.
Arthur Wallace, yes, he's turning up a story. I'm intending but Alan Lear will probably write the climax, because Alan Lear writes good climaxes.
One used to think about how, if I were writing this, how I would do it. I wanted a much more doubting doctor. Someone who would, through this natural arrogance that does run all the way through all seven incarnations, keep reaching these instant conclusions, but would quite often be wrong and would admit he was wrong from time to time. So I started from that. And when I started Cloud of Fear, the thing I was most interested in was showing the Doctor afraid, something that hadn't been done very often. What happened was, I wrote Hallucinomatrix, which originally involved the Time Lords putting the Doctor into this sort of perverted matrix where the laws of logic didn't apply, in order to persuade him or to humble him sufficiently that he'd take up the post of president. However, one of the Time Lords in the original story turns out to be Gasp the Master in disguise. So I was writing that just as Trial of a Time Lord started. I finished Unclever Relative just as it started and sent it in. And imagine my surprise when vast quantities of what I'd written turned out to be very similar to vast quantities of what happened in Trial of a Time Lord. So sudden amazing panic down in London. I could hear the reverberations up in Edinburgh. And I was politely asked if I'd like to make just a couple of changes, you know, not very much, lad, it'll only take you all of January.
There will be a special on-tape release due, we hope, for release round about October time, you know, autumn, which will contain a special little story, which we're going to be writing shortly, and interviews with us, and hopefully interviews with the present TV production team. So it's sort of like a very general look at Doctor Who from behind the camera and from behind the microphone, if you like. It'll be hopefully 90 minutes if we can fill that amount of tape, but that will be out and about in autumn, so look out for it. We're not away forever.